This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Banks in the U.S. and Australia under fire for dishonest customer charges. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Wells Fargo could be fined $1 billion today for opening fake customer accounts and charging for unnecessary services, a scandal uncovered in 2016. At the same time, in Australia, the head of one of its largest financial institutions, AMP, has resigned after revelations the company lied for a decade to regulators about charging customers for services they never received. The BBC's Howell Griffith has more.
Australia's financial sector is one of the most profitable in the world, but a Royal Commission inquiry has exposed systematic failures and abuses. Earlier this week, the AMP was forced to admit it had lied to the industry regulator for a decade about its practice of charging customers for advice they never received. The chief exec, Craig Mellor, said he did not condone the behaviour, but accepted he had to go. The Australian government has announced new penalties for corporate misconduct, which will include fines of up to 10% of a company's turnover.
Well, indeed, Australia's government is putting its money where its mouth is, increasing the maximum penalty for the most serious offences to 10 years in prison for individuals or about $9 million for corporations. Here's Australia's Treasurer, Scott Morrison.
The impact that can occur to a very large numbers of individuals is very, very serious. Mm. We need to set the tone through the law and the penalties that applied so people understand that misleading regulators won't carry a victimless penalty.
Scott Morrison, let's do the numbers. After hitting a 2014 high, global oil prices are slightly higher. Saudi Arabia's energy minister said the world economy could withstand higher crude prices, a sign OPEC's de facto leader likely won't roll back the cartel's production cuts. But Russia's energy minister said his country could scale back cuts as early as this year. Residents of a tiny Philippine island called Boracay are pleading with their president not to shut down the island next week. Rodrigo Duterte has ordered the popular holiday resort closed for 6 months because it's being inundated and ruined by tourism. The BBC's Jonathan Head is on the main beach in Boracay. Jonathan, the photos of this island are what holiday dreams are made of. White sand, turquoise waters. What's the problem?
The big problem is really the lack of planning and infrastructure. The numbers who came back in the 70s and 80s were numbered in just a few thousand every year. 2 million is an awful lot. Local people here say also it's the fact that so many Filipinos have come here for looking for work, who live here all year round. The infrastructure just hasn't kept up. The roads aren't good enough. The sewage system is leaking into the sea, which is obviously a terrible thing when people want to go swimming in it.
Now, Jonathan, it seems that residents and local business people agree that, you know, work needs to be done, but they're still hoping they'll reconsider closing the whole island.
Broadly, people here accept that something had to be done, but they are stunned that there was so little warning was given. The actual shutdown itself was only ordered earlier this month, and it's happening next week. This island earns $1 billion a year. That's a third of the tourism revenue for the country. It needs to be done, but do you need to shut the whole island down? It doesn't sound like you need dramatic action that costs $500 million just to do that.
Jonathan Head. India's 1.2 billion people use a lot of cash, but it seems there's not enough to go around. That cash crunch has been a windfall for Paytm, India's biggest mobile payment firm. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani reports.
Whenever you're in a market in India, you'll often hear the same thing. 3 items for 100 rupees, this man is saying. Cash is the way to go here. But another form of payment is becoming more popular. And the man trying to bring about some of this change is India's youngest billionaire, Vijay Shekhar Sharma, the founder of Paytm, the largest digital payments firm in the country.
We will bring 500 million Indians to the mainstream of economy, even giving them access to lending, capital of credit, and then insurance and so on.
Paytm has already been in operation for several years, but it was really when Prime Minister Narendra Modi implemented a cash ban, demonetization as it was called, in 2016, that it saw its usage and growth really soar. Overnight, high-value banknotes were taken out of circulation, and millions of Indians were left with no cash. Arjun was one of them. He's been a vegetable seller here for the last 12 years.
During demonetization, there was no trade. Then people started using Paytm and our sales actually increased. If we earned around $150 normally, Paytm pushed that sum up to $450. So Paytm has improved business.
But there are concerns over how Paytm will continue to grow, as foreign players like Google, Amazon and Facebook are all eyeing the Indian market.
They just want to take the advertisement dollars and they don't even invest in this country.
Growing market share here isn't easy.
I'm in a busy outdoor market in the center of Delhi. I see lots of Paytm signs here, but pretty much every shopkeeper I've spoken to here says they don't accept Paytm. Sometimes the problem is they don't have the right kind of phone. Most people here still prefer cash.
It's clear that Vijay has a real sense of mission about what he's trying to do for India, regardless of the difficulties ahead.
It'll be written in the trigger points that 2015 onwards, Indian entrepreneurs took a vow to build a world-class companies out of this country, and they started to grow out of their own fears.
In New Delhi, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Speaking of cash, Deutsche Bank accidentally made a $35 billion payment to a German exchange. They got it all back, though, so all's well that ends well. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.